Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'm really giving you a witness last week and this week about the places where I've been, and one of those places is Israel. I was over there for 3 weeks, and I was there when Vice President Joe Biden came, and such an uproar came from the whole world telling Jerusalem, telling Israel, telling Benjamin Netanyahu, not to build in Jerusalem. Oh my goodness, folks, you talk about a sign of the end times. God's word says, and we're really there right now. We're in Zechariah. And Zechariah is a prophetic book. And in Zechariah, it explains about when the Lord's going to come back and how the earth will be changed. And it says in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2, That's God. And this is emphatic, very emphatic in the Hebrew language. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. Now this has to do with judgment. He's going to make them drink of this cup of reeling, giddiness. It's an intoxicated, it shows you an intoxicated man staggering like a helpless man. It's a symbol of judgment. And here in Zechariah, God says the nations, all nations, are going to have to drink out of it. They're going to be judged unto all the people round about when they shall be in a siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And so here we see that Jerusalem itself is the touchstone. That is going to be God's touchstone for judging the nations as nations. What do you say about Jerusalem? And I'm telling you, when I was over there, I went over there March 7th and 8th, and then I stayed 3 weeks, and Joe Biden came there. And they happened to announce that they were going to have a building project in Jerusalem. And he said that it was a personal affront to him and to the United States. And then the State Department got in on it, and Hillary Clinton spoke to and dressed down the Prime Minister of Israel. And they told him they don't appreciate his announcing. It's just a little building project. God said, I'm going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And so United States of America needs to correct right now some of the things that have been happening. And I'm glad that we're going to go, Christians United for Israel, we're going to go. You can go online and find out the dates in July, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to visit all of our senators and congressmen. We're going to say, stand with Israel, because that's where the blessings are. How do we know that? We know it from the Word of God. It is written in 1 Corinthians 10:32. The Bible, Brother Hagin said, a good way to, when you're studying the Bible and rightly divided, to find out who's doing the talking in any scripture and find out who they're talking to, or more properly, to whom are they writing? To whom are they speaking? And they can be written to one person, but they can also be written to groups of people. And the Bible says there are three groups of peoples to whom scriptures can be addressed. Brother Hagin says that in his book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. When he was teaching on this in the 70s, and I was listening to it for the first time, I heard an audible voice. And he had just read 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And I heard a voice that sounded like this. If you will remember that verse of scripture, it will keep your end time doctrine straight. That was back in the 70s. I had no idea that I needed an end time doctrine. But now when I read through the Bible, I simply look and see, who is this scripture written to? And so it can be addressed to groups. It can be addressed to the groups of the Jews. It can be addressed to the church. All the letters are addressed to the church. New Testament letters. It can be written or addressed to the nations. And so we have to find out who these groups of peoples are. And we found out last week that the nations are introduced to us. After Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives got off that boat. Then God gives us in Genesis 10, the division of the nations. That's the first time we find anything about nations. Those nations rebelled. They rebelled, and at the Tower of Babel, God confused their language. So that rebellion is dealt with in Genesis 11. And then in Genesis 12, we have introduced to us another nation. God is going to separate out of those nations a holy nation unto himself. And here we are in Genesis 12, 1. Now Jehovah had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He lived at that time when he was separated. He lived in what's known today as Iraq. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now, the promised land. The Holy Land is holy to three groups. The Pope said this: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But it's promised only one. It's promised to the sons of Jacob. It's not promised to the church. We have heavenly Jerusalem, praise the Lord, but earthly Jerusalem and its environs are the promised land to the Jews. And God said here in chapter 12 of Genesis, now Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, promised land, that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. That's going to be a nation. Abraham's going to head up a nation. It's going to be a great nation. This is God's portion among the nations. Israel is God's portion. It's a nation. That's his portion among the nations. Now, the church, we are representative. We come from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, we're told. We're out of each of those, and we form a body. And Jesus is the head, and we're the body. But now this is the nation it's talking about that is God's portion among the nations. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The nation of Israel is to be a blessing to all the other nations. In fact, the blessing of any nation on this earth, even today, is tied up in how do they treat Israel. Verse 3, I will bless them that bless you, I will curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. God will bless those who bless Israel, but God the Father will curse those who curse Israel. We don't want to be on the cursing side. So he leads them up into a mountain. And when he goes into that mountain, and I've been there right where this happened, verse 7, we always take our group there. And if you order our DVD on our tour that we took in 2007, you'll see this absolute place, this tree, this place where God appeared to Abraham and said this. He comes into the promised land, and so he is at this Alon Moreh, this tree of illumination. The Canaanite was then in the land, verse 7, up on a high mountain. Jehovah appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, Abraham's first altar. He comes on down to his second altar at Bethel. And then he comes in, let's go to chapter 13, verse 14. Jehovah said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, how long? Forever. There's no promise in all the word of God that's mentioned as many times as the promised land given to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, verse 17, arise, walk through the land, the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And every one of these places I've marked out in the margin of my Bible with an L. It's a promise for the land. And so he went to Hebron, and he built an altar there unto the Lord, and this is what happened at Hebron. Chapter 15, such an amazing chapter. And so the Lord appeared again. I mean, it's something when Jehovah appears. After these things at Hebron, The word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Oh, how can I? Don't even have a child. The only one I've got is Eliezer, this steward who I picked up in Damascus." And the Lord took him outside, and he told him to look at the heavens, the stars, and the sand. And he said unto him, verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to. So shall your seed be." So he said, "You're going to have seed, Abraham." And Abraham believed this. Verse 6, he believed in Jehovah, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in him. It's accounted to him for righteousness. He believed he's going to have children. Now God gives him something that's hard to believe. Verse 7, he said unto him, "I am Jehovah that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And the Canaanites are all in the land. And this, it's harder for Abraham to believe. And he said, "How can I know I shall inherit it?" And the Lord said unto him, "Get me a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old," those are big animals, "and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Abraham got all these things. He was thrilled because he's a man of the East. He knows that God's going to cut a covenant with him. So he divides those animals, those big animals, right down the backbone, lays one side of the heifer on one side, lays the other on the other. He takes the ram, divides it down the backbone, and then between them there's a path of blood. And at nighttime, God himself comes as a burning torch, and he walks and passes up and down between those pieces. He doesn't say to Abraham, "I'm going to make a covenant with you if you do so and so." The only one who speaks during this covenant is Jehovah himself. Verse 18, in the same day, Jehovah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "What? Unto thy seed I have given this land," past tense, "from the river of Egypt," I believe that's the Nile, "unto the great river, the river Euphrates," all the way from Egypt, right on up into Iraq. He promises him, and he marks out borders right here of all these nations, what is now known as Greater Israel. They have never had it, but they will have it. I've heard people, Christian people, preach sermons out of this right here and say that it had to do with us. It has nothing to do with us. This only has to do with Abraham and his seed, his flesh seed, and the land they're going to be given, Greater Israel. Bless the Lord. You can understand these things so much better if you would order our DVD, Israel, The People, The Land, The Promise. We made this throughout all of our trip that we took to Israel in 2007, and you'll see right where this promise was made. And you'll hear and know then about why it was so dangerous for Joe Biden and for the United States of America to come against Israel's plans to rebuild Jerusalem. Well, we sure want you to be with us in Osage Beach, Missouri, if you can. We're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting there. My daughter Shelly and I will be there, and we'll be with Larry and Loretta Allison. So call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you want to have part in a good Holy Ghost meeting. Shalom.